Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the U Up podcast. Man, we just recorded an entire podcast and lost it because Bert Kreischer called me and it made my voice memos fail. I'm going to blame it on Bert. It's not his fault. Guess what? It just wasn't meant to be. I bet I said something on that would have gotten me canceled or something. And thank God that didn't come out. But I'm here, joined by my two friends in my apartment in Soho. I always like to say that because it sounds like super cool, because it's mentioned in Taylor Swift songs, although she's talking about the Soho in London, but I'll still take it. I'm on my couch in between my two friends who I just taped a whole podcast with and it was lost. It's the U Up podcast. It's Nikki Glaser and it's Andrew Collin. Welcome to the show.
I plead the fifth.
That's a callback to a podcast you didn't hear, but we're bringing you in. He pleads the fifth. That means he's going to be taking time out the rest of this segment, at least. And then I'm also joined by a former guest on my radio show on Sirius, Sarahlina Prozel, one of my best friends. She's a model. She's an actress. She's a tango dancer, and she's hilarious. Welcome to the show, Sarahlina.
Hi.
We got to work on your intros. Hi. Sarahlina has like a what is your accent? How would you describe it? Where were you raised, by the way?
In the Mojave Desert in California.
Yet she has an accent, a transatlantic accent. Is that it? Because you watched
I've been told, but I don't know. I'm thinking about what I'm talking like. Does it sound transatlantic?
Yes, it does.
Does it?
It does. Sarahlina talks like this. She's one of my best friends. We met through our exes. Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
Our exes are best friends and currently best friends. And now we're best friends. And it was like, you know, sometimes you go, what did I get out of a relationship? And I got a lot out of that relationship. I didn't just get Sarahlina, but I definitely lucked out with this friend. She's amazing and she lives right down the road from me. And she's always DTH. Down to hang. I don't think I've ever asked you to do something and you haven't been ready to hang.
That's true. I've been a little unemployed the last couple weeks.
That's not employment. You're busy as shit. You go to you teach tango. You go on auditions. You book shit. You're modeling. You did a couple shoots the other day. You travel for work. You're a busy bitch, but you're always down to hang. You're always down to smoke a bowl if I want. Like you're always down to smoke pot with me. I always have a friend. I could literally give this woman, girl, anything and she would do it. I really think you would. I have poppers. You want to try them?
Let's do it.
I don't even know what poppers are. They keep coming up though. Apparently you put them in you do them and it makes your asshole relax.
Oh. Yeah.
Know anything about poppers?
I need them. I gotta pop a lot of things in my ass.
Yeah, your asshole is clenched up. So that's because your asshole probably has a lot of tension. You might benefit from poppers.
Well, I got the surgery, which was kind of like a popper with a knife. I don't know what it popped, but it's something back there. But yeah, I could use anything, man. Just give it up, you know? Does it get you high?
Yeah, it gets you high. It was big in the homosexual community. Apparently it still is because I talked to someone who said that guys are still doing poppers at clubs. And it makes your asshole relax so you can have good anal sex later. So,
I mean, it sounds like a win-win, you know?
Yeah.
A little high, a little buzz, and then you can get railed extra hard because you got that loose ass.
Loose ass. Wow. It does sound pretty good. Yeah, I did a lot of anal talking this week. I was on a podcast that you came with me to, Barstool.
Yeah, it was cool to be in there inside the alpha male den of Barstool Sports.
Yeah. They had a shitty green room that just had sports on a really nice TV and like a couple of bags of popcorn on a table, which is not nothing. That was nice. That girl got a snack. That was really nice. But I did this podcast, KFC Radio, so fun. But at one point we were talking about they revealed to me that they were into watching anal stuff on porn. And I was like, I am too. And I was wondering, like, is it the same – Are we both into it for the same reason? Because I like anal because it's like the dirtiest thing you can do, and you really feel like, man, if I can do that, I can do anything. That's so sick. Like, I could never picture myself doing it. It feels almost empowering because you're so depraved. And then it was revealed that, yes, they like it for the same reason because the guy was like, he said something about like, he just tweeted about it. He said something about like, she must be such a whore. And I'm like, yes, that's it. Like, that when you do it, you're like, I'm such a whore. Whoa, can you believe what a whore I am? And I was legit getting turned on while I was talking about this. Not because I was like wanting that from any, like, I just, talking about it, and I haven't come in 2 months. So like, I'm just horny all the time. It's fucking great. And, but during it, because sometimes when I talk about sex stuff, I feel the energy, and there's a bunch of dudes in this room. I feel the energy shift to like,
yeah,
it's, they're getting turned on, and I don't want that. I never want to do that with comedy. And so I even said, I was like, so, okay, I'm going to pause right here and just say that I'm really sorry if anyone's turned on. That is not my intention, but like, I'm only saying that because I'm like kind of turned on right now. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was good to cut it because then we got back on track because we were all just like horny in this room. It was really fun. Yeah, I haven't come for 2 months. Are you avoiding orgasms? Like I've been telling all my friends to, Sarah-Lena?
I'm not, but I think orgasms can give you a little bit of a glow in the face.
It's been proven that the glow comes from right before the orgasm to really savor that moment. I just went on a podcast called the Almost 30 Podcast. It's going to come out soon, I think. But these girls were saying that, oh, you know what's really good for your skin? The moments before an orgasm. Like, this girl had just read that it's all about prolonging, because a lot of girls just use a vibrator and they come in like 2 seconds. And you're supposed to stay within that time when your blood is rushing all over you and it's circulating. Stay in that as long as you can, because that's where like the rejuvenation and the...
That makes sense. So that makes sense.
Still coming.
I won't come. I'm not coming. No, I want to stay in that almost come phase.
Yes.
That's where I'll live.
Yes.
That's where I'll live.
And I got to say, last night I was like so horny at the Cellar, and after hanging out with you girls all night and drawing dicks on tables, good Lord, we were all horny last night. Can we just, I mean, all we did was talk about sex and like.
We did draw a lot of penises on the
table. Did you go home and masturbate?
I didn't. I just washed myself.
Oh. Well, that's going to do it for me. No, I went home and I was like, and I had already planned on masturbating. Like last night, I always like plan on it. And I did it, but I didn't come. It was the first time I was just like, I'm just going to masturbate and just like enjoy the amp up. It was fucking great.
All right.
How are you coming good?
Yeah, I'm coming pretty good now. I'm single now and I just, you know, I jerk off the porn. I jerked off the anal porn this morning, actually. It's called Black. It's just like these really like, Jack black guys like really just take it to like these pretty little white girls, and it just turns me on so much.
Wonder what that's about.
Yeah,
I, the part of it is like their cocks are literally ginormous and they could do every position in the world, and I'm just like, God, what I would do to be able to like pick up, like they did like standing 69s, and I'm just like, what? You can do this, or like reverse cowgirl or missionary.
It's like watching sports for you.
No. Yeah, it is. It's like watching sport. And like, I think anal for guys too is really hot because if the girl's like sitting on the dick, you can see her vagina like perfectly. Like, there's something about the visual of being able to see her vagina, you know? Like, I don't, there's something really hot about that.
I've only gotten anal from behind, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, because you could sit on the dick.
Like. I've never seen anal in porn received in that way with a girl sitting.
What? Yeah, no, that's, I'm confused.
No, it's a thing. Oh, yeah, it's definitely a thing.
And like
you could either sit like on the dick.
Here's the thing about anal, though. I don't want to do anal. I don't want to be on top and having to do anal to myself. Yeah. Getting fucked in the butt is like, it's about receiving and it's about being like, this is happening to me, not I'm doing it to myself. And that's just my experience.
Well, you could do anal missionary if you just lean back, if you put the legs up far enough. That happens too in porn. You've never seen that in porn?
Wait, anal missionary?
Yeah. You put the legs up and then you throw in, you put it in your ass and then your vagina, it's just flexibility, really.
Yeah, but the girl still has to be on top and like control it.
No, you're on bottom, missionary. You're on bottom.
You have eye contact.
Oh, that's so weird. No, I would never think it could happen from that way. Well, actually, maybe, yeah.
Would you not want to be penetrated while staring at the guy?
No, definitely you want that because he's got to tell you you're a fucking filthy whore. How's he supposed to really communicate that without some eye contact? Guys, let's get to a special portion of the show today. I'm so excited. My mailbox key has not – I have not had been able to access my mailbox since the date that I moved in, August 1st. And I knew that there was a special letter coming because last week I ran into Howard Stern in the lobby of Sirius. And it was so exciting, and we had a short conversation in which he said that he's been getting a lot of great feedback about my episode, and you guys know what this means to me. Like, Andrew took a picture of me, and I was just clenching my neck or my chest. Like, I was just like, I'm not worthy. And it's like a thrilling conversation to even talk about. Like, I was just so excited, and he said, I sent you a note, and I go, I didn't get it. And he goes, well, it's in the snail mail. And I was like, he's like, it's in the mail. It takes time, Nikki. Like, he kind of scolded me, and it was hot and awesome. And it was kind of hot. Like, he kind of was just like, yeah, because it's in the mail. And I was like, oh, yeah. So we said goodbye. And I knew that there was a letter from Howard Stern waiting for me. So today I ran into my super, and I slipped him a 20 and I said, can you get me a mailbox key? And he got me one, and I arrived at my apartment today and there are two letters from Sirius, and I'm going to open them on the podcast. It was Andrew Collins' idea. I wanted to open them right away and he said, wait for the pod. So here we go. And the winner is, oh my God, it's so nice. Is this, I wish this was a painting of his. Yeah, so it says typed, Nikki, it was great having you on the show. Thanks for coming by. You were so open and honest, and it was greatly appreciated. So funny, too. Best, Howard.
Oh, you got to frame that.
Yeah, you should.
Ugh. I don't think I'll frame it. I don't like when guys do that. I don't like when guys, like, frame their cue cards from when they did The Tonight Show.
Whatever. Just keep it. Put it somewhere where you don't like. It's not just a stupid little card. It's
of course, I'm going to keep this forever and ever. My children will read this someday if I have them. This is the best thing I've ever.
The other card is just a picture of his own cock.
Oh my God! I would love if he sent me a picture of his dick. That is so nice.
That's nice.
I don't know what this one's from. This one says from Howard Stern show.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Gary.
Oh,
Gary Delabate. Oh my God. Baba Booey. Dear Nikki. Now the whole Stern universe knows what I've known for a long time, that you are an intelligent, funny, brilliant comedian. The Stern fans love you. I knew they would. Thanks for being such a great guest, Gary. Oh my God. Guys, I really didn't know that they were going to be this nice, and I didn't. Thanks for sharing that with me, you guys, that experience. I'm going to cry. That's the best thing ever. Let's get into the first episode of the week because I feel emotional. And also, we've already recorded an hour and a half together. Okay, so here's the podcast. Oh, Monday. Oh, my God, it was such a fun show.
Yeah,
tell us.
Oh, man, was it fun. It was Anya, you, and Mr. Dane Cook.
Yeah, I mean, what can we say about this episode? This was like a special day for me.
Well, I swear to you that, like, and you talk about it, and I don't like to take your shine when you bring up, like, a past thing that meant a lot to you, because then I try to, like, one-up you and be like, actually, that meant a lot to me, too. But, like, Dane Cook was one of the only, like, comedy albums I ever listened to, especially my early 20s. And that first, you know, the album where he's like, oh, where are my shoes? Have you seen my shoes? And, like, I don't know, like, all those bits. Like, he was a rock star. He made comedy cool as shit.
Yes.
For like, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. And so it was really cool to see him. And then the idea you have of him because of Torgasm, because of, like, you know, people have talked shit about him, about how he's bumped people and that he's not a good. And then you meet him and you see he's done so much work on himself and that he's in a good place. And he couldn't have been any nicer and honest. And he laughed at my joke, so, you know, that's good. That's always a bonus.
Yeah, he was nice. He was really nice, and that was the thing. Like, this dude has done a lot of work on himself. It, like, shows you how someone can change. Because I don't know that he was the coolest guy, and, like, you do hear stories, and I think he'll even admit to some of it, but he was, like, deeply insecure and scared, and he was a scared little boy, and he just seems like a man now. Like, I'm really happy for him. He just seems happy, and I appreciate him and his young girlfriend, who, guess what? I don't give a fuck if he has a young girlfriend. She makes him so happy. They seem to have a really good connection and relationship. I will defend their age difference to the death. Probably his death first, because he's older than her, and he'll die first. But Dane was so funny, so introspective, and I loved it so much. So here's Dane Cook, me, and Anya Marina on Monday show.
Then I put up a post on Instagram mentioning that I was single now, but it was maybe an hour and a half after it was maybe a little too early.
Yeah.
And she didn't enjoy that.
And I knew right away. And you I knew saw right the post away. And you I wrote, go, what are you doing?
But I made it a joke. I didn't make it about her at all. It was about my depression from the breakup.
Okay.
I said I could put 5 boxes of White Claw and make a person and hold it while I watch reruns of The O.C., something, whatever, not sure. That funny, but, and then
this is what I'm, but the fact that you tried to make it funny to insert out into the world, like, I'm single again, yeah, ladies, yeah, that's what was gross about it to me.
It was like a dick pic, but like very camouflaged.
You were like, but it was funny, it was more about my depression, and I was like, no, you were trying to tell girls you're single
which
again.
I got a few DMs, which was great, and then I had to fucking take it down because, you know, my girlfriend.
Wait, but why'd you have to break it down? If
take it down.
Wait, didn't you break up?
I still am.
But she still had, like, steak? An hour later, she could hit you up and be like, you got to take that down?
Yeah. It wasn't even an hour.
I think you're broken up.
I think it was 34 minutes. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I know.
That's
I know.
Very weird.
I know. But, you know. It's fine.
So what's
it was
the
last post I would have to take
Let
down.
Me tell you why it's not fine. Anytime you push your own eyes into your fucking brain, it's not.
Yeah, you really
I have a
were.
Thing about anytime you touch your face.
I touch my face a lot,
things aren't
too.
Good. Yeah. When you start pushing things into your own orifices, dude, it's not fine.
You don't understand.
That is such a scary thing to see somebody push their own eyes.
Isn't that like Oedipus?
Knowing like, oh, that's just what I did minimally in front of people to push my own, the thing that I need to see. I just watched your fingertips get fucking white.
No, I'm fine. I'm wow. over it. I'm over it.
No, I'm good. And oh my God.
I just gouged my eyes out.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
but I'm doing great.
Breakups, though, I mean, they're
oh shit,
they're hilarious.
Wait, they
yeah, that's why I'm in love now, and I've been
I
in love
know.
For like 2.5 years, and it's the least funny fucking thing ever. It's so
yes,
hard
because you're not cynical. That I feel like that just happened to me too. I just feel like I finally went for it and I'm falling in love, and it's the first time in my life I'm not like sending little cynical texts or slightly passive aggressive things or like, you didn't me. It's
right.
just like I'm being so genuine. It's so disgusting. My
right.
texts are so boring.
You're just transparent with the person.
Yeah, I'm like, thank you so much.
And you both accept everything good and bad about each other, and it's working towards something. It's for comedians, it's death. I'm fucked.
I'm
so screwed.
I think it's great. It's like what you were saying about having a little nucleus of people who truly love you and care about you and support you. It's like
yes.
it's like that important fluid around your brain, like you'd be lost without it. It's like so key
right.
to your survival.
It is.
So good for you.
So this guy right here.
You
yeah.
need
how yeah, but you... do you get bored with that though?
Do I get bored with what?
With like a relationship that doesn't
no.
chaos.
I, see, here's what I love now. Some... Balance.
Yeah.
I love the craziness of a show.
Yes.
Radio City. Da-da-da-da. And then I love that the second I walk off stage, I'm physically most of the time, but like figuratively, I'm going home.
Yeah. Mm.
And my home is peaceful. I have a beautiful, peaceful place.
With a marquee.
With a person. With a marquee. And I put on a cloak, and I go up there and I push my...
Stop.
I look over, you just punching your own dick, and every time I look, you're just...
So I fine, push my I'm dick fine. In my own skin. You're sorry, fine. Dave. I never. It
get,
is definitely.
Hey, by the way, get off social media. It's like I don't think that's the route to meet people. I think I'm old school. Still meeting
yeah.
someone in real life and having an organic, you know, conversation that like then leads to is better than because people are just putting their best fake version of themselves online. So you're actually buying into a bio that they think is the right thing to
yeah.
share with people. So
yeah,
try to just mingle in life.
How did you meet your girlfriend?
I met her at a... I was hosting a... I had taken for the first time in 27 years Friday night off. Never.
Unheard
had
of.
Never, ever. So I was like, I've earned... I can take a weekend night off.
Wow.
And I'm going to do something. I'm going to host a game night at my house. And I'll have people that also like to just on a weekend, maybe not party or whatever, just want to get together, play games, Mafia, Codenames, whatever.
Yes.
So about 30 different people would come through.
That's so fun.
And I met her there. So we were like friends there for a short period of time. Never would have thought I would have ended up dating her. It was just literally like a kind-hearted person in my home. And then as time went on, it just became like this thing where I was getting to know somebody who I knew was like one of the rarest gems that you could possibly meet, especially in LA.
Yes.
You know, somebody very present, somebody very real, compassionate, all the boring things that comedians, you know, can't make fun of. But I was like, if I fuck this up, I'm the biggest loser. Forget anything in a career. It's like, I'm giving it my best shot. Mm-hmm. I've literally given the best of who I am to somebody for 2.5 years.
That's awesome.
I'm very proud of that.
That was Monday's show with Dane Cook. I hope you enjoyed it. Still here with Andrew Collin and Sarahlina Prozel. Sarahlina and I hung out last night. That was really fun, drawing dicks on the table at Comedy Cellar. Sarahlina almost took out her tit at the restaurant. God, I have bugs. Fuck. She like was pulling out her boob, and Anya saw Val, one of the managers, look over and see, because Val always senses when something's amiss. If someone falls asleep at their table, if someone's like too loud, Val takes care of it. She's running that shit. She clocked Sarahlina, almost exposed herself. Yeah. But you're such a model. You're just so comfortable with your body. Like, tits come out and you don't even think of it. What was your thinking in that moment to take out your tit in the restaurant?
Well, I was explaining to Anya, they said, you have decent sized breasts. I was like, no, really. They're much smaller than you think. So I pulled down. I was like, look, this is a molded bra. So I pulled down my molded bra to expose my actual boob outside the shirt. But as I was lifting up, which I would have, I was just going to show them. I just didn't have a thought. I just forgot where we were at one point. I was so in the moment of the conversation.
I think there was one time where we were at the salad bar at our favorite sushi restaurant, and you loudly said something about eating ass that was like so, it was, and I had to like have a little talk with you at the table and be like, hey, I think we need to quiet down, because you talk so openly. Like, you make me blush sometimes, and that takes a lot.
I think I just get really wrapped up in everyone's eyes.
I love it. It's a great thing about you. Well, not Andrew's eyes. We know that. I made her look into Andrew's eyes earlier and to see what color they were. And she said gray. And he has green eyes, so he's very proud of them. And he thought he could make them sparkle. And she goes, I don't know. They're like the color of eyes.
Someone said I have snotty green eyes, which is so mean. And then someone else said, I love your dead green eyes, which just says I'm autistic.
No, I'm going to really look at them right now, though. No, they're nice. They're good. They're fine.
I don't know what the green is now, like the same green as your jacket. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's your pupil. You have a large pupil. And so
Zoloft.
You have Zoloft eyes.
Yeah, I have Trintellix eyes. A lot of people have been writing me about my antidepressant that I'm on. I'm on Trintellix, which is the worst name. I don't even know how to say it, but I talked about it on Howard Stern. And people have written me about it, saying that it's like the best antidepressant, no side effects, you're going to love your life. And there are all these like sales reps that have sold it. And they're like, it's my favorite drug to sell. I'm obsessed. It just came out. And they're sincere, though. They're like my listeners. So shout out to those people. Feel good. Maybe you should go on Trintellix to come.
Maybe. It sounds like it.
Because I'm like horny as shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll probably switch it up, but everything else is good. So the positives of Zoloft are good so far.
What were you looking for in a girl? You're newly single, Andrew. What are you looking for in a lady, if we could put that out there? Are you looking for love?
No, I don't think so. I think not for another year or so.
Let's be honest with the women listening. If you're considering Andrew Collin as a partner, what are you closed off? Are you open to a girlfriend?
I'm not open. I'm open to my heart is open. I'm not going to close that bad boy off. You know, that it's going to run wild like a Harley through the desert.
That's a Harley road through the desert.
Yeah.
I guess in like a desert road. Yeah. I was picturing like dunes. It would be very difficult.
Oh, no. Like the road.
Okay.
The paved road of the Mojave Desert.
Mojave.
Bon Jovi. And so... I don't know. I want to be open, but I also want to be realistic. I want to work really hard this next year and a half. Like, it's a very important year. I've worked too fucking hard the last 9 years to then, like, get to kind of a point where it's, like, kind of cool, but not to, like, make the most of it.
Yeah, next level.
Yeah, and I don't want to feel like I need to, like, I can't feel like I have to, like, check in or feel like I don't want to feel like I'm responsible for anyone else's happiness because I want other people to be happy. I don't want to be a dick to anybody. And if that includes, like, so I don't want to bring someone into my shit.
Okay, well, you can start with you by not, even if you're in a relationship that requires that, like, just not get, you can control how you respond to these relationships and not, you just said you want someone to be happy. You can't make anyone happy. You really can't. You can only make yourself happy.
Yeah.
You can't control other people.
No, I can't. But that being said, hit me up in the DMs because, you know, I do want to try the standing 69 thing. I mean, who knows what will happen. You could pick me up.
Please, girls, if you want to hook up with Andrew Collin, please, please, please. If you want to do standing 69 with Andrew Collin. Okay, great. Yes. If we need a sturdy girl, slide into his DMs. That would be hilarious to hear that story. I want to hear you do it. We won't make fun of you. I really will. Like, if you're down for that, like, more power to you, girl.
I want to be picked up and throw my legs over your shoulders and let's have some fun out there. I mean, it's going to be tough. You're probably going to have to put a weight belt on or some kind of fishing belt, some kind of heavy belt.
You being standing 69 by some woman, some strong woman, is so hilarious.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Best image ever.
Hey, let's go to bed. Hey, pick me up. Well, it's
Dude.
Oh, my God. How strong would she have to be? I'm like almost 200 pounds.
That's right. Crazy. You'd have to be pretty strong.
Yeah. So I'm looking for a sturdy bitch.
If you do CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit. If
you're the best in your class.
If you could deadlift more than anyone in your college back in the day or today, and you could pick your bad boy up and throw this little Jew cock in your mouth while doing deadlifts, I'm your man. Oh, but we're not going to date because I'm really focused on my career.
And with that, let's get to Tuesday's show. Bye, Andrew Collin.
Later. I love you guys.
Love you too. So he's leaving now. Oh, Tuesday's show. Hold on. Let me look it up. I'm never prepared for this. I'm sorry, you guys. It was just yesterday, too. This is Wednesday. I'm recording this. Alex Edelman and Anya Marina were in studio. Anya and Alex talk about their Jewish plight. Oh, my God. You missed the Jewish plight episode.
Man.
What's your Jewish plight? Set us up for this. What? No, I'm serious. Like, we were talking about anti-Semitism and how it's affected your life because as someone who's not Jewish, I don't even pay attention to that.
Well, I've talked about this before, I think, but growing up, where I grew up in Port St. Lucie, Florida, there were no Jews. They're actually neo-Nazis. They spray-painted our temple growing up, like, die, 6 million left, die, Jew, die. You know, so you didn't. That wasn't cool, a lot of swastikas. And then I went to an all-Christian school, so I dealt with people spraying lighting swastikas on fire in their front yard on their driveway. One person made like a hanging Jewish kid out of towels, and it was all like, you know, this is fun. Like, it wasn't even seen as anything like bad because I was such a minority, and then no one really cares because we're white at the end of the day. Jews are.
Yeah.
So it's like,
wait, what about the chalkboard thing?
Oh, that was my seventh grade teacher, Mr. Mugford. Yeah, I'm calling out your name because you're a fucking piece of shit. And you put a circle on the chalkboard and said, hey, the Jew needs to put his nose in the circle in front of the whole class.
Jesus Christ.
Granted, I was a little annoying. Okay. You know, I was a little too funny for him, I think.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think I deserve to do Jew circle.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
These things, though, like, they compounded, but then also I was friends with a lot of people, so it was hard to, like, you felt left out, but you also felt included, too.
Well, you survived.
No, I didn't. No, until someone picks me up and blows
you
me.
You were funny because you felt different, and then people embraced you, but you still, that doesn't mean that you weren't discriminated against. And that leads us into Tuesday's episode where we talked about Jewish plight. I had Alex Edelman, who's full Jewish, Anya Marino, who's half Jewish. And one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard on You Up happens in this segment. So listen for it. Enjoy Tuesday's show. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. And I struggle with wishing that I had grown up with more Jewish culture because sure. I identify with the, you know, the strain of feeling marginalized mm-hmm. as a Russian Jew. And like my grandmother was, there were all these stories about my mom being called, you know, I won't say it, but like terrible names.
You can say it.
Kike.
Yeah.
And my grandmother also being called the same things. And so, but then there's this weird thing where my mom, who's a Russian and has Russian on her passport, will tell this story about how at like the age of 5 or 6, her mother saying like, what do you, you know, on your passport, I have to decide Jew or Russian. So I'm going to say Russian to protect you. And my mom, well, to this day, is sort of forgotten that she had this option. And she's like, no, I'm a Russian. I'm a Russian. I'm not a Jew. I'm like, you are a Jew, though. Like, you're a Russian Jew. Your grandmother was a Russian Jew.
It's hard because someone goes, what's your label? And Jew comes with another. Jew doesn't preclude other labels. So you're not sure. By the way, in terms of Kike, do you know about the Gary Goldman and I every year give out the Kikes? Which is the award for the most negative portrayal of a Jew in media.
Hilarious. And who won last year?
Tony Shalhoub for his portrayal of Jews on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It was a wonderful... It wasn't
he
even
swept.
Close. He, okay. Oh, my God. But Scorsese, there's hot kike buzz for him. For the Irishman coming out because he won a Lifetime Achievement Award for the Jewish guy from Goodfellas last year. And so him and Spike Lee are one of the few Lifetime recipients of the Kikes.
That is so hilarious.
So we really
Alex, I wanted to ask you I haven't seen you since for a while. I think the last time we hung out was before the roast, right?
Yeah. My God, Nikki.
Oh, well, we don't need
I
killed it.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
big moment for me in my career. It changed everything. It's over 10 million views across platforms. Comedy Central, you know what's happening. It's the biggest thing that you've had viewed in a while. You know it. So thank you. And they know it. The last time I had to tell them, I was like, hey, look at all these views I'm getting. And they were like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going viral. Will you ask me to do the roast again, please? Like, I like had to put it. But this time they were like, listen, 10 million views. And this was weeks ago. So it's probably gone up since then. It was crazy. You know what the best thing about that was? Oh, there's Dan Rather.
He's so cool.
Oh, my God. Dan Rather just walked by you guys.
But everyone just saluted me, Dan Rather.
I mean, that is so cool.
That was a Heil Hitler.
Wait, we need to get... Anya, the greatest. No, will you get him in here for a selfie?
Oh my God, Noah's leaving the building. I mean, that was
kidding.
The best thing. Anya, I love you. Anya,
love
break
you.
Up with your boyfriend
okay.
right now.
I'm done. I'm Anya, texting him now.
Text him right now.
Boyfriend. All right, guys. I'm going to keep this little interlude short. Andrew's gone. I'm on the couch with Sarah Lena. Not much has changed since the last time I talked to you. I'm setting up today's show, which was Wednesday. Liz Phair, Anya Marina, Hannah Berner in studio. I love Hannah Berner. I'm on her podcast this week called Burning in Hell. Berner. She's so cool and fun. And then Liz Phair was in studio. This whole interview was fascinating. I think Hannah and I like might hook up someday. It was wild. I don't know what's happening. But you should listen to the whole episode, but you can only hear that on Sirius XM on the on-demand app. But this is the segment where we talked to Liz Phair. And we talked about why Liz Phair, who is this badass feminist icon who can have anything she wants, has had a illustrious career, now an author of a book of stories, a memoir stories called Horror Stories, not Horror Stories. But Liz Phair she's just like very formative in my life and Anya Marina's life, certainly, but she was a huge influence on me. Her song Fucking Run was like, well, you hear me talk to her about it, I think, in this segment. Maybe you don't, but I told her, go listen to her song Fucking Run, and it is like, I told her that it's almost, I always want to post it on Instagram, but it's too vulnerable for me because there's a part in it that's like, she goes, I want a boyfriend, I want a boyfriend. But the whole song is about fucking all these guys and like, you know, this guy and I regret doing that and I can't believe I did that and I'm drunk and I'm blah, blah, blah. And then she just is like, there's this longing in her voice and it's like so sad and vulnerable. And I've always been reluctant to post it or tell anyone I like the song because I'm like, oh, they'll think I'm so sad or, but actually it's funny. And then I told her that I'm actually on stage right now doing a joke. I mean, I opened my Degenerate special with I want a boyfriend. I want a boyfriend so bad. And it was inspired by her song, Fucking Run. Anyway, this is our conversation about why Liz Phair still doesn't have a boyfriend.
I love being able to like be such a strong feminist and then being like, and I love men.
Yes.
I love them. I love all of them. Well, as long as you let me be me.
I always get told I'm a man hater.
What's wrong with that world? Mm-hmm. Can we all just live in that world?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What world? Sorry.
I love men as long as they let me be me.
Yes.
We were talking about, like, I'm not about being like, men and women are equal. No, we're very different. And let's embrace our beautiful differences emotionally, physically, and simultaneously exist.
Yes.
1,000%.
Yeah, but...
Holla, lighters up.
Lighters up, for sure. I
want to start saying that. That was cool.
Wasn't that cool? I said it, like, I tried to say it, too. I said it after to, like, cement it in my mind. Yeah, as like, that's the thing you say now.
It didn't come out the same as when she said it, though.
It's actually something you said 8 years ago. No, I'm kidding. Like, oh, yeah. Do not follow my lead, please.
No, I think it's coming back. I think lighters up is back in 2019.
It's so much better than iPhones up.
Yes. Oh, my God. I just rub two sticks together I do it really old school. I've been channeling you recently, and I realize your song Fucking Run, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. I always am reluctant to share it on my social media because I'm always feeling it, and it's always my mood. Like, if you put out a song that's like, this is my mood, that song is literally always my mood. Since I heard it, since it was introduced to me by my English professor who I became friends with, who knew I struggled with. Yeah, it's not creepy.
You're freaking.
But it was in college, and he's one of my best friends. He's brilliant, but he was like, have you ever heard of Liz Phair? And I was like, of course. And he's like, but this song, I've been obsessed with that song ever since, but it just explains what it's like to be a single woman, kind of like sleeping around and figuring out who you are. But then the core, I don't know even if it's the chorus, but it's just like, I want a boyfriend. I want a boy. And I can never share it because I feel too seen in that part. And it's too vulnerable for me to admit that. But in avoiding putting that on my Instagram, because I've been tempted to so many times of just like, this song is me. Every girl needs to hear it. I want girls to hear the song. It's me. It's helped me through so many times, that song, in my life, just knowing that you're like this cool badass chick who has felt the same way I felt, of just, I'm trying to get these guys to love me. I'm sleeping around. I'm like hooking up, and then they abandon me the next day, and they make up excuses that they have to go get a lot of work done when I know they don't. And I know as soon as I leave,
you
they're gonna
don't have a
yeah.
job.
They're gonna go back to sleep. Recently,
you don't have a job. I know you don't have to go to work.
Your app that you're creating is not a thing.
Yeah, he's talking about plastic surgery. He's getting a lot of work done later on. But I recently have started on stage. I opened my next kind of special. I go, guys, so like, I want a boyfriend. I want a boyfriend so bad. And I didn't even realize it till right now when we opened with your song this morning that I stole that from you. I literally stole your lyric and injected it into my stand-up because I do want a boyfriend, and I don't want to be scared about saying it anymore because it's like this thing that you're not supposed to admit as a woman. It's too vulnerable. It's like, no one wants to be
desperate
a boyfriend.
Or something.
Yeah, and like, guys are always just trying, I keep telling guys, like, stop not wanting to be my boyfriend. Like, if you could as collectively just all stop that. But I can't get a boyfriend to save my life. But in saying that on stage, it's felt so freeing. And I really thank you for that. And I didn't put it together until now. But, like, I'm like, quoting Liz Phair in my special, which is part of The Degenerates, is coming out on Netflix. But it's totally inspired by you.
Thank you.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do not, and the same thing just happened to me. Like, I was flirting around and kind of casually dating this guy that I was very clear that, like, I was looking for a relationship, and he was like, well, I am not. And then, like, back and forthy. And it still ended up as, well, I am looking for a boyfriend, and I am not. And you get that feeling. It's like, what is it? Like, is
is this going to get any better? Or is it only going to get worse? I have this terrible feeling that it might not be getting better. You know,
like what?
How are women's emotional needs going to be met in the world of hookup culture? Is my question.
Great question.
It's crazy too because you both are so successful in your careers and like fulfilled on paper in terms of like accomplishments, and but it's great to be like, and I want someone to share that with, but also, yeah, it's human nature to want to share.
I'm so frustrated by it though because you're right. Like, I hear you saying you don't have a boyfriend. I'm like, why don't you? You can have anything, Liz Phair, and I could say that about myself, and I really do feel that way. Like I get everything I want in my career. I mean, it's been struggles and I've had rejections and there are things I want and I'm still aiming towards, but I'm like, I know I'm going to get it. Like, if I really work hard enough, I've proven to myself I can do it. But I really want a boyfriend and I cannot get one. And I feel like I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I just feel like you said, it's, I'm kind of realizing like it might be.
Well, it might be this time in history. It might be that as women work more and they're more independent and more financially independent, and yet we still have the and I know we all have it in the backs of our minds, like, there's a fire in the living room and my husband is reading the paper and I have just made fresh brioche and look, there's the dog in from outside and he smells like cold air. Like, that will always haunt me. Like,
I could listen to her talk all day long. Yeah. Her voice.
That's, I want that. And yet all my choices lead me toward art rather than that. So I'm part of this.
All right. That was Wednesday's show. And guess what? Thursday's show, it hasn't even happened yet because I'm doing these early. So Thursday's show, I'm excited for tomorrow. Let's see who's on. Oh, my God. Ashley and Raina are on. This was like Women of Podcasting Week on UUP. Raina Greenberg and Ashley Hasseltine were on the show with Andrew Collin, who you just heard on this show. They are the hosts of the Girls Gotta Eat podcast. I did an episode of their show. They are so funny and so smart. And I was like, I'm such a fan of them. Anyway, I know tomorrow's show is going to be amazing. And you're going to hear a clip from it right now.
The other night I was crushing on this guy. Like, I met a guy the other day and I was like, I have a crush on him. And someone, and I was talking all about him. And then my friend kind of came up and I was just like going down this rabbit hole of like, I just like him so much and like talking him up. And my friend came over and was like, wait, who is this guy? What does he do? And then I had to say what he did for a living. And I was like, it brought me back down to like, Nikki, stop. And I was like, what should I text him? And like worrying about it. And I was like, I don't even want to say what he does, but it's like,
wait, like,
I'll tell you off air who it is. But it was just a check of like, look at who you are, look at who he is, stop acting like he's better than you. And not that I'm better than him, but like at the very minimal, we're just two people. Don't like put him on this pedestal.
But do you think it's the opposite? And I worry about this sometimes, like with our show and people like see us touring and traveling. We have this really popular show. Do you think guys look at you and they say, I'm not trying to like puff you up, but do you think guys look at you and they're like, she couldn't possibly like me?
I hope so. I hope that that's the problem because there has to be something. Like, the guys that I'm pursuing don't deserve me. And it's like, but I'm into, like, and I give them hints and they don't pick up on it. And I'm like, how could they must, because I have that too when someone likes me. I'm like, I'm not good enough for them. So maybe there's that with some of these guys.
But they
I don't know
aren't
though.
Good enough for you.
I think they most of the guys I go for aren't good enough
I mean,
for me.
I think Raina and I realized, like, I realized last year, oh, you did our holiday shows. Like, I feel like after we completed those two shows and we were just like, what we're doing is so amazing and we built this, I had this epiphany of like, no guy gets to upset me ever again. And yeah. I have not been upset about a guy literally since. And I was talking to another girlfriend that kind of does a similar thing. And she's like, my life is so incredible. I am so happy. I have all these people surrounding me. And that's how I feel too. I'm so fulfilled. My life is filled with love. I have my family and my friends. No guy gets to come in and ever throw a wrench into that. And I've liked guys this year and it hasn't worked out and I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I tell Raina, I'm like, if there's a video game of being unbothered by men, I've reached the top level. Like, wow. I am totally unbothered. If it works out, it works out. I just am like, my life is too good. I've created too much. I feel so fulfilled. You don't get to come in and ever upset me.
I love that so much. And I am like approaching that level. I need some, like, I need Game Genie to get me there. You know that thing you used to put onto the thing? Mm-hmm. Like, I need some tips.
I need
you to go, like, up, down, B, B. Like, mm-hmm. I need you to teach me the cool codes.
You should make a note in your phone of all the things you're really proud of. And when somebody treats you shitty, somebody has, like, one chance. And if they treat me like shit, I'm like, who do you think you are
to do this to me? I know you're right. And I hear that. And I've got, I definitely stop and I go, think of all your friends. Think of, like, women who need boyfriends sometimes don't have good friends, and they put everything into a guy is going to, like, rescue them. I literally don't need a guy. Like, I have friends all the time, mm-hmm. all over. Anyone will hang out with me at any time. I have a great stable people. But when a guy rejects me, then I'm like, who are you to reject? It just makes me think, oh, maybe he sees the thing in me that is unlovable, and like somehow I'm inherently unlovable.
No, one person sees something in you that they don't like, and you're not their person. That's not like personal.
Like, much offense.
Love
to
is,
it.
Of course, you do. We all do. You'd have to be like a crazy sociopath to not take it personal. Like, it is personal.
I don't care.
I'm but just like I don't.
Because how many guys do we not like? Like
every single one of them.
Absolutely.
It's just people get in their head all where you're like, them. If a girl's like, the guy doesn't like me, something's wrong with me. It's like, think about the last time you didn't like a guy. Nothing was wrong with him. He just wasn't
That's
your person.
Great. Absolutely. That's great. That's great.
It's just
I
don't
like
want to end up with this person. It's nothing deeper than that. It's not you're not pretty, funny, smart, successful, whatever the fuck enough. It's just that person at the end of the day does not see themselves marrying you, and that's it. It's not deeper than that.
No.
And you're so right. Like, there's tons of people that I meet that are like, that try to go out with me and I'm not interested. It's not because I hate them. I'm not interested.
Yeah. The guy this summer, I was like, he's a great guy. I have nothing bad to say. Yep. It's just not my guy.
Yeah. I know.
He's not unattractive. He was great at sex. He's funny enough. I was just like, not for me.
And that was the show this week, the U Up Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Rate, subscribe, review, do all of those things. Spread the word. Take a screenshot. Share it on your Instagram stories. Say what parts you like the most. You know, tweet at us. I can read all that shit, you guys. I see all the tweets that are, I'm not famous enough where I don't see every tweet. I still see every tweet, so I appreciate a tweet. Tweet at the show, at U Up SXM. Sarah Lina, you can follow on Sarah Lina, CerelinaNYC. She doesn't post that much, but she is so hot and so funny and really blossoming into like an amazing woman that I'm excited for you guys to see, because she'll be someone you know. I'm developing her already as a comedic talent, and I think she did a pretty good job today.
Thanks, Nikki.
Well, that wasn't the greatest ending, but, you know, this girl's got promise. I love you for listening. I love you, Sarah Lina Prozel. Sarah Lina NYC again on our socials, and we'll see you next week on the pod. Squirt, squirt, jackpot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.